WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
Now that the great evil, known as Larry Nassar, has been purged from the national consciousness, we move on to the next phase of the great gymnastic scandal of 2018. It's the part where everyone puts on the breastplate of righteous indignation and swings the sword of outrage and condemnation. That breastplate gives the wearer the moral fiber to puff out their chest in anger at Nassar. And the sword permits the bearer to pierce any and everyone who might have been complicit in the horrors that Nassar visited upon hundreds of young gymnasts across the country. Please don't mistake what I say over these few minutes as excusing what Nassar is convicted of doing to scores of young women for years under the guise of treating them in his role as a medical doctor. A Michigan judge was right last week when she said she had signed Nassar's death warrant in sentencing him to between 40 and 175 years in prison. And if there is such a thing as reincarnation, Nassar should come back and do even more time. Likewise, what is said here is not meant to provide comfort or exoneration to the officials of USA Gymnastics, Michigan State University, or any place where Nassar hung his disgusting shingle and preyed on these girls and young women with the silent assent of those institutions. But the swift and universal declarations of virtuous rage are, from this vantage point, just too convenient and just a little too late. For nearly 2 years, the Indianapolis Star newspaper pursued this story with the kind of zeal that good journalists employ to right wrongs. The Star reporters and editors operated practically alone, even after the story ballooned into a scandal that should have offended people nationally and internationally from the first story. Yet, it wasn't until those more than 150 young women displayed the courage to face down Nassar in court that the broader media and the larger public gave a damn. And if we're truthful, the fuse on community anger wasn't really lit until Olympic gold medalist Allie Raceman provided the all-important soundbite by a famous person that the story exploded. Again, this is not to diminish the damage and pain that Raceman suffered, but it is to recognize that there were hundreds of others who had similar stories but didn't have an Olympic gold medal around their necks to make producers and editors care. This collective fury resembles the scorn that was heaped upon Penn State in the wake of revelations over 6 years ago that an assistant football coach molested and sexually abused young boys while authorities who should have known better turned a blind eye. Then, as now, the media locked onto the presence of a well-known figure, then Penn State football coach Joe Paterno, as the linchpin of attention that should have been paid all along. Now, as then, the NCAA is investigating the conduct of Michigan State to see if athletic officials did all they could to bring a halt to Nassar's vile conduct. The NCAA was out of its element then, and likely should get out of the way now to let justice prevail, even if it is late. And that's how I see it for this week. You can reach us via email with your questions and comments at sportsatlarge@gmail.com and follow me on Twitter at sportsatlarge. Until next week, for all of us here, I'm Milton Kent. Thanks for listening and enjoy the games. Thank you.